Welcome to the Philharmonic Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 8:17 British Summer Time. Today is October 13th. Today we had the US Treasury auctioning $13 billion worth of long-dated bonds. Prices rose by 23 points. They were above 140 briefly, but are closing out the day below that level. This isn't a particularly impressive bounce. Prices have pulled back over the last 7 or 8 days. They are a little bit oversold in the very short term. There's potential for an unwind of that oversold condition. But provided we don't see massive upward dynamics taking out of the peak above the 146 level, then the likelihood that a medium-term top formation is formed has increased substantially. UK gilts were stronger by about a full point. Bunds, which have been falling for nearly 4 weeks at this point, were also a little bit stronger. They were up by about two-thirds of 1 point. Gold was a little bit softer. It was down 7. Silver was down 91 cents. Platinum and palladium were also weaker in here today. They were down in the region of 15 and $18 respectively. In Asia, the majority of markets were in positive territory. The ASX was stronger by about 1%, the Nikkei by about the same. Hang Seng was stronger by over 2%. Yesterday we had an upside Q reversal on the China A-share market. There was follow-through in here today. This is at least a short-term low. The potential that the government is looking at the market, looking at low valuations, looking at the extreme pessimism in the market, and thinking that this is an opportune time to increase positions, is becoming increasingly likely. We had important lows in the A-share market in 2005 and 2008 when the government moved in to support the market. We're beginning to see tentative signs that that may be occurring now. The market is oversold. The Hang Seng and the H-share market in Hong Kong are unwinding that oversold condition quite quickly. They've been rallying on consecutive days now, and they've been pushing up by at least 2% practically on a daily basis. They also have comparatively low valuations and comparatively high dividend yields relative to what they've paid over the last decade. We're also seeing a sharp unwind of the oversold condition in a number of the better performing Asian markets, such as Indonesia, the Philippines, Thailand, and even Malaysia. Some of the more financially focused markets, such as Singapore, have pulled back probably more sharply, but they are also unwinding their short-term oversold condition. In the commodity markets, the grain and bean complex posted large upward dynamics earlier this week. They were a bit weaker in here yesterday. Soybeans in particular were stronger in here today. It was up 17 cents. They appear to be in the process of finding support at the lower side of their respective ranges. Oil today was weaker by about a dollar on West Texas Intermediate. If one looks at the medium-term chart over the last 5 years, a progression of lower rally highs is evident on Brent crude since April. The last peak was at 116 and change. It's now rallied up to test that level. If the progression of lower rally highs is going to remain intact, then it would be expected to encounter resistance below 116. And it was a little bit weaker in here today. It's been up on consecutive days. It's a bit oversold in the short term. It's coming back into an area of potential resistance, and it was a little bit weaker. A downward dynamic in this area would really indicate that another lower high has probably been reached, and then we could see another retest of the $100 level and potentially more than that. Brent's decline relative to West Texas Intermediate has been relatively sedate. That is at least in part because of the lack of supply from Libya and the fact that the market remains in a $2 backwardation. If we look at the stock markets, the majority of Asian markets are unwinding deep oversold conditions relative to the MA. The DAX in Germany is a relatively good approximation of the kind of pattern that we have right across Asia. The DAX fell more than most. It's unwinding the short-term oversold condition. It was a little bit weaker in here today, but the short to medium term outlook continues to look like that it is going to unwind that oversold condition. What it does subsequent to that, and whether it can push back above its 200 AMA and reassert its medium term uptrend, remains to be seen. What we've seen in the last 2 weeks, and this has been the first two consecutive weeks to the upside for a while, has been that we've had increased volatility, but that deep oversold conditions have been evident. Now, when you look at a market such as the FTSE, where it has rallied right back up to the upper side of its range and closed the overextension to the 200-day moving average, then the question has to be asked as to whether it has built enough support to be able to hold a move up out of this range. That's a big question. Personally, I'll be surprised if it can sustain an upward break at this point, given the amount of pessimism that we have out there. But if we are seeing that government bond prices are coming down, it might just be able to do it. And it's a very similar situation for the Dow and the S&P. They're down marginally in here today. The Dow is down a third of 1%, the S&P about a quarter of 1%. That's not very much. It's considerably less than the kind of volatility that we had where the Dow Jones rallied almost 1,000 points in the last week or 10 days. The NASDAQ 100 in particular is stronger in here today. It's up to 2,320. That's where the midpoint danger line was in the overhead trading range, and it's pushed above the 2,300 area on a number of occasions over the last month. The NASDAQ has some of the biggest multinationals in the world, and it's also where some of the really innovative secular trends have tended to kick off. Companies such as Amazon and Apple, Checkpoint software technologies, are notable for the consistency of their advances. The massive declines that we saw in other markets have largely been absent in some of the leaders on the NASDAQ, and the index has been one of the relative strength leaders globally. One of the only other markets that has a similar chart pattern to the NASDAQ 100 is South Africa. When we look at the potential in stock markets, much of the decline was fed by deleveraging and a flight to safety, or the perceived safety of government bonds and the US dollar. The dollar was relatively steady in here today, following quite a weak day yesterday. As long as the US dollar isn't surging ahead, then there isn't any reason to suspect that we're in another round of deleveraging. The potential medium-term tops that are forming in the government bond markets equate rather snugly with the potential resumption of medium-term uptrends in the equity markets. Because if we see the Dow and the S&P and the FTSE 100 pushing up out of their current ranges, the odds will be stacked in favor of them being able to hold those moves above their MAs and pushing back up into the overhead trading ranges and reasserting their medium-term uptrends at some point next year, more than likely. So we're very much at an important juncture. Gold continues to hold above the $1,600 level. The 200-day moving average is just below that at this point. It's in a support building phase following an abrupt reversion to the mean. It doesn't look like it's going to push very much below the 1550 level. It's been able to trend relatively well higher over the last couple of weeks, but I think it would be rash to assume that gold is going to be able to rush right back up to $1,900 and assume a new high in here. It probably needs some time to build support. The gold platinum ratio is at an interesting level. Gold is at $1,666. Platinum is at 1536. Now, you have to look at a lot of history to see the last time that platinum prices were below gold prices. If you look at the ratio in the chart library, we can go back to the 1980s, and it's been at least 16 years since the ratio has been as low as where it is today. So platinum is, by one definition, it is undervalued relative to gold. I'd be interested in seeing longer term data. How did platinum perform relative to gold during gold's last major bull market? The problem with the ratio that we have right now is that it is mostly the bear market for gold that gold did not perform as well as platinum. I'd be very interested to see how did gold and platinum look in the 1970s through to the 1980 peak for the gold price. That would give us more information as to how we would expect platinum to perform in the current environment. If we look at platinum in absolute terms, it is unwinding a short-term oversold condition relative to the 200-day moving average. It's been up one day, down the next. It continues to hold above the $1,500 region. Provided it continues to do that, I'll be willing to continue to give it the benefit of the doubt. I think with that, I will leave you for the evening and wish all the best to all of you.